This is Radio City Talk.
Everton have been a little bit slow starting some games at Goodison Park this season, but it just descended into this chaotic end-to-end crazy game. And I think that's the type of match that suits Leicester, doesn't it? You know, when they've got space to run into, when it is end-to-end, their players like Vardy and Slimani and Demarai Gray really come into it. But once the game did settle down, I think this is where Morgan Schneiderlin's influence has been missed so much in the last couple of games for Everton. Once he starts getting a grip of the game and starts playing his little passes, starts winning the ball back for Everton, they look a completely different side. And having a player like him who can just control and dictate and probe another team is a massive asset. And he really dragged Everton back into the match, I thought.
Ross Barkley looked class again. Obviously got a bit of criticism for the derby, but I'd say if you looked at the majority of his games in two and a half months, he's been on something of a roll, hasn't he?
Yeah, this year, I think. Thinking back to the game against Crystal Palace away from home, that's when you sit up and thought that was a really good performance from Ross. It was the best of the season, and from then he's really gone on. And some of the criticism has been a bit harsh on him, I think, since the derby, because that was the exception really in 2017, because he's been fantastic. And again yesterday there were a few little moments of frustration which you're going to get from any attacking midfield player, but That cross for the second goal was just, you consider where he was on the pitch and the way his body was shaped, almost away from goal. To get his foot around that was incredible.
It's what all strikers want to run onto as well.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It was like you see Kevin De Bruyne doing that, don't you, on a regular basis, and people wax lyrical about it. But that's the sort of thing he needs to be doing a bit more regularly for me, though, Ross. He's really improved his, the little intricate side of his game, his work off the ball is better. But sometimes you just think, you're such a great technician, just get it out your feet and have a shot, or get it out your feet and get the ball into the box. So if he starts doing that a little bit more often, I think he'll go up another level again.
The conversation amongst the media, the papers this morning around Ross Barkley is around this sign your contract or leave scenario again. It's a bluntness with which Ronald Koeman spoke a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He's just reiterated that even after Ross has played well. He's got his message across. I mean, the player himself knows where he stands now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Everton have played this pretty well all in all. I think I said a few weeks ago it was almost a case of around Christmas time, Everton saying to Barkley, well, you're not playing well, lad, so we can take you or leave you at the moment. We're not really that concerned to get this contract signed, and kind of laid down the challenge to him to go and earn himself a deal, and that's what he's doing at the moment. Like I said, the derby game was a disappointment. I think he got a little bit wrapped up in it all, but it's consistency now, and I think this is where Koeman's done fantastically well with him. He's in better shape. There was a great moment in the second half yesterday when Leicester had the ball at the back and were just knocking it round. And Ross charged down two players and forced one of the, I think it was Robert Hoof, to kick the ball out for a throw. And you think, that's not something he would have done last season. And just making those little improvements in areas like that, like his fitness, like his physicality, that's helped him get a foothold. That helped him find a platform from which he can go on to do the sorts of things like get that crossing and link the play up in the final third.
So can I just clarify, he's not actually got a contract to sign yet, has he?
I don't think it's been made clear.
No, I'm looking at this quote from Ronald Koeman. We offer him a new contract. So these are the possibilities. And Koeman is quoted as saying, we offer him a new contract and two possibilities. One is sign. If he doesn't, we need to sell the player. It is simple. Now, that says to me, from the way he's spoken there, that they haven't offered him the contract yet.
Not yet.
So maybe we're all getting carried away with something which isn't even in Ross's own ability to control at the moment anyway.
I don't think there's any point getting too concerned about it.
12 months to go? Do you not think he might have been offered it?
I suspect he'll sign a contract at the end of the season.
Right.
I don't think there's any concerns about that. I think, there's been a lot of furore about Lukaku's contract, hasn't there, recently? But you kind of just want this to go under the radar and just, one day just to be announced by Everton saying, oh, Ross Barkley signed a new 5-year deal, by the way. I think that's how it'll eventually happen. You've not heard any kind of murmurings from any well-placed journalists or anything like that saying, he wants to go out or Everton are looking to sell him. So for the time being, I'm pretty content with it all and suspect it will get done.
So is he keeping his options open?
He could be, couldn't he? I mean,
I think he looks
happy at the moment. I think he will understand that his game's getting better. And while there's been criticism from the outside from some people, he'll know himself that Ronald Koeman's doing a good job of him. And he's starting to, there's an understanding now between him and the supporters. Where in the past there was, groans of frustration and people getting on his back a lot more, he's really appreciated now. His name was getting sung throughout the game yesterday. Like I said, just doing those little things like chasing down the ball, working harder, that's really starting to endear him to supporters a lot more now. So I think everything seems to be right for Ross at the moment in terms of the fans' relationship with him, the way he's playing, the new position he's playing in. So I think it'll be very, very strange if he decided at this time that his future should be elsewhere.
Joel Robles is feeling a little bit of pressure at the moment. Mm. So there was a Marco Brighton free kick, which swerved directly into the goal. That, not for 1 minute am I believing he was going for goal, Marco Brighton, at that point in time. But the keeper had a bit of a howler in terms of his positioning or judging what was going to happen there. He's having a few games, isn't he? And don't get me wrong, actually, because the game before at Manchester United, again, he sort of redeemed himself, didn't he? But the derby, again, was under fire. He's a little bit lacking consistency.
Yeah, definitely. But it's interesting because the game against Liverpool, he was pretty appalling for the first goal and the third goal, wasn't he, overall, you'd have to say. But you're just hoping that that game hasn't undone the progress he's made, because if you look at him overall in that time period, in a similar way to Ross, he's been dead consistent, nothing really to be too concerned about, but there are a few little concerns creeping in, I'd have to say. But I suspect Everton, I think it'd be good for Everton to get a keeper to come in and compete with him for a place and see how he reacts to that, because at the moment he's definitely the number one. I don't really think Stekelenburg's got a long-term future with the club, but if you brought in another young goalkeeper to maybe, you know, in a similar situation to Liverpool are now, where you could say either of them could play in goal, then it might help them kick on. But a few little concerns, I'd agree, Steve, yeah.
Hey, well done Everton on their junior match day theme. They had a pitch announcer replacing Graham White. I believe he was as good as Whitey, Morning Whitey. also involved here, 8-year-old Grace became a mini match day photographer. And young Billy joined the club's security team for the day. I don't know how big Billy was. He escorted Ronald Koeman to his office.
I thought you were going to mention Tom Davis there as well.
and him as well. Right, Liverpool, so 2-1. Lots to talk about in this game as well. He'd left his two key men on the bench, Firmino and Coutinho. Firmino was just, I think he was just knackered after playing a lot of football. Coutinho had lost a considerable amount of weight, hadn't he? We've just had the calculator out working out what this is in stones and etc.
6.5 pounds.
Yeah, so 3 kilos. Yeah. 6.5 pounds he lost in the space of a few days. So you're pretty ill, aren't you, if you're losing much? So you can understand why he's been left on the bench. But then Liverpool in all sorts of dire straits, starting with Ben Woodburn and Divock Origi, very much on the back foot in the first half. No surprise that sort of Walters scores, because he always does against Liverpool. And then you bring on your main men and they manage to turn the tide. Now, I think that's a massive, probably one of the biggest wins for Liverpool this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've only seen the highlights of this game because I was at the, obviously, at the National on Saturday, but it was one of them when you're scrolling through your phone and looking on Twitter for the team. And when Liverpool's came up, I thought, oh, that's obviously the substitute bench when I looked at it first, because it had like Alexander-Arnold, Woodburn, Origi, and then you're looking for goal. And it was a different system as well, I believe, wasn't it? He played three centre-backs.
Essentially five at the back.
Two wing-backs. But, I mean, you know, like you said there, Steve, to go there and be 1-0 down with half an hour to go and for your two main players to come on and just turn it round for you in such quick succession. And what a goal that second one was as well.
Roberto.
It was absolutely fantastic, wasn't it? And I think that skill looks a lot easier than it is when the ball's like bouncing in front of you like that. But you see players sometimes just snatch at those shots and they fly over the bar or they go wide to the right. But he kept it so low, didn't he? He did fantastic. It was a great technical shot. It was reminding me a little bit of Garcia's goal against Juventus all those years ago. It was pretty similar to that, wasn't it?
I watched it again twice because I was thinking, why isn't the keeper moved for that? But it's only after you re-watch it you realise it's that quick that he doesn't have time to respond to it.
Yeah, that's it. He took it really early, didn't he? Yeah. You know, it's almost as if he's coming out to try and close the shot, thinking he's going to take another touch. But what a strike, fantastic goal.
Man of the match, Simon Mignolet. Two unbelievable stops. One of them out of this world. I mean, you could argue and say, well, he didn't know too much about it. But look, they trained to be in those situations to react and reflect with their legs that quickly. I thought it was absolutely outstanding from Simon Mignolet. Again, another keeper who you either see the very best of or the worst of. There's no in-between with them.
He's done pretty well since he's come back into the team, hasn't he? I'd say that there's not
moderate.
There's not been too many hours, but he's a keeper who I think is always prone to making great saves like that late on. You know, I think there's been loads of times in Liverpool this season. You can think back to games, you think Mignolet made a fantastic save there, you know, either to win Liverpool a point or get them free. So I think he's a little bit harshly treated sometimes. Maybe Liverpool need a little bit of an upgrade there, but I think for the time being, he's, you know, you'd have to say he's probably one of the top six or top eight keepers in the league.
He's okay. He just looks petrified when he tries to dribble the ball out. And he does. Yeah. And for some reason, he tries to take too many touches of the ball. He did it against Bournemouth the other night in the the opening 5 minutes. He's trying to play with the ball in the box, and you can see he hasn't got the confidence or skills to do it.
It's crazy that you even talk about that for a keeper now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Why is anyone telling him to do that? Just kick the ball. Just get it away. Well done, Simon Mignolet, anyway. Brilliant stuff for both our teams. And Tranmere Rovers, it's not often a team scores 9 goals, but Tranmere Rovers, a data saver for Rovers fans. So, who were the hat-tricks? Was it Cook who got a hat-trick on that one?
I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I must get the goal scorers out here. But 9 goals. Solihull absolutely battered. Just a little bit gutted that Lincoln won on the day as well.
And Tranmere missed the penalty as well, didn't they? So it could have easily been 10. But one of the lads who I know goes and watches Tranmere week in, week out, he came to the Everton game yesterday because one of our mates wasn't going on a season ticket. And we're talking about the match afterwards in the pub. And we said, oh, what do you think of the game? And he went, oh, there's only 6 goals. I saw 9 yesterday. it was nothing compared to that.
Right, let me just dig it out for you. Here we go. Oh, trying to load it up on my phone as we speak. My message from Dave Downey here, he's just tweeted. He says, does Matt really think Tom Davis is that good? they have a constant conversation, these two, about that. Right, Tranmere 9, Solihull 0, Stockton got the first 3. Jennings got the next 2. Then Cook, Rydal, Jennings and Collins. So hat-tricks for Stockton and Jennings as well.
Amazing.
Two hat-trick heroes, brilliant stuff. This is Radio City Talk.